You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, Ed Stetzer here, another New Churches podcast. Kind of excited about today's podcast because I've got an old friend on the podcast. And Scott McConnell is the executive director of Lifeway Research, has researched the needs and preferences of church leaders, lay people, and the unchurched for Lifeway and Lifeway Research for over 25 years. Now, if you recognize the name Lifeway Research and think, hey, didn't you used to work there? I did. And the whole time that I was there, Scott was the brains of the operation. And so you get to talk to the brains of the operation in today's podcast. Scott, by the way, is my successor who now leads Lifeway Research, is doing a great job there. Okay. So one of the things that I think it's important for us to look to research for is to understand people, right? Now, we can understand people in the church. That's great. But I'm very concerned about, driven by evangelism and mission. So when I saw that Lifeway Research had a new study on openness to people sharing about their faith and more, I thought it'd be fun to bring Scott on to talk about this as well. So we'll kind of walk through some of these things. So Scott, let's jump into the conversation. Tell us about this research project you did. Well, you did it with a partner, but tell us about this research project, how it relates to evangelism and conversations about Christ.
Yeah, we partnered with Evangelism Explosion to survey Americans on their openness to having conversations about faith, and also did a survey of American Christians to find out their openness to talking about faith, which is part of our calling as a Christian.
Yep. Now, we did this when I was there years and years ago. I think it was with either Evangelism. No, it wasn't with Evangelism originally. We used one of their questions originally, like, you know, if you were to die today. And then we subsequently partnered with them. So it's kind of like a three-phaser. And then this is the third part, too. I want to talk about some about how things have changed. But let's talk some about, you know, openness of Americans to having conversations about their faith. What are people closed to this idea? Are they open to this idea? Talk to me.
Most Americans are open to the idea of talking about faith, and even when we specify the Christian faith, they're open to having conversations, and more so if they're talking to a friend. But even with a stranger, people are going to be polite. It's part of what they're willing to do.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's part of the question too. Whenever I would share this data, you know, we did this at several phases about whether or not people were open to receive their faith. People would say that what people say that they're hypothetically open, and yet they somehow, I mean, gosh, I talk about my faith all the time and I do find them to be open. Why are Christians more skeptical of non-Christians' openness to the faith than non-Christians or unchurched people are skeptical about their openness to the faith? Is there any idea?
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to a conversation. So if we kind of put ourselves in the Christian's mindset toward the conversation, they're really expecting pushback. And so for many of them, about 4 out of 10 of them actually believe that there's going to be pushback from the other person, in that it's actually offensive for them to bring up faith and somebody changing their faith. And so, you know, if you think your message to somebody else is going to be offensive, that's going to hold you back. That's going to keep you from talking about it. And in fact, that's happening. Well, you know, it's easy for people to say, well, you know, nobody's involved in evangelism today. You know, some of what we see here is definitely that Christians are saying, no, I am having conversations. And so it's not the percentages we would like them to be, but half of Christians indicate they've had a conversation with friends or family in the last 6 months, specifically about faith. And so people are having conversations, but for many, you know, there are things holding them back, like their expectations of pushback from the person they're talking to.
Yeah, and I think that people are talking themselves out is sometimes what I say. They're talking themselves out of evangelism in a world that's actually probably more open than they actually think. So how then, as you look at the data, give me some data points that might help people to think about the openness of their unchurched friend, and maybe that'll help them respond. But what when we talk to the unchurched, what do they say? It was the unchurched, right?
The reaction we got was from all Americans.
Okay, so, all Americans.
If you're going to talk to them, if you're going to bring it up in conversation with a random person that you're going to have contact.
Okay, a random person. Did you break it down at all by engagement, or was it just all Americans?
It was all Americans.
Okay, super. Okay, so when I'm going to go talk to all Americans, what are some numbers that Christians should know if they're going to be engaging just random folks?
6 out of 10 Americans believe that that Christians are not talking about their faith. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a void. A related response from them is that half of Americans are curious mm-hmm. why people who are devoted to their faith, have that devotion. And so there's actually this curiosity within our culture that if you're going to bring up your faith with somebody, if they're not already a Christian, there's a pretty good chance they're going to actually be curious. So what's behind this? Why do you go to church? So why does this drive the decisions you make? What are the benefits you get out of this? And so there's this natural curiosity that people have that a lot of times we just ignore that piece of it and just think of the negatives of, they're going to be against what I'm about to share. And really for half of Americans, they're actually curious. So, I finally met one of you. Why is it that you get up on Sunday morning when the rest of us are sleeping? And I think, we can tap into that curiosity, but we need to do it in a way that we're sharing the benefits. What are we getting out of this? Why do we want to have a relationship with God? Why do we want to be living in community with other believers and doing life together in a church setting. And if we can't share those benefits, then it's their curiosity is going to be, that's why I don't follow Christ, or that's why I don't go to church. But if we're sharing the benefits, which hopefully we're singing about those in church on Sunday morning, hopefully we're meditating on that as we think about our relationship with God. But I think too many of us are not used to putting those into words on our own.
Okay. And I think that's key, is that it seems that evangelism has somewhat fallen on hard times. Yet I found interesting in this data that people have actually indicated whether or not they shared with a friend. For example, 38% have shared with a friend or a family member how to become a Christian in the past 6 months. Scott, that's kind of different than the data we saw earlier, isn't it?
Just depending on the time frames you put on these questions,
Might be a difference.
We can get some different responses. But the reality is that there are people talking about faith.
Yeah.
We'll get a higher response if we say, are you talking about faith? It's a lower response when we say, did you actually share how to become a Christian?
Right. But we did. You did ask. 38% shared with a friend or family member how to become a Christian in the past 6 months.
Yes. So the number I shared earlier was just a conversation about faith.
Right.
So it wasn't
that's
actually
higher, right? So it's higher, and then you clearly get the lower distinction, which does make sense. So for example, 64% have prayed for the salvation of a friend or a family member. Okay. So that's praying. And about half of those, a little more than half of those, have actually shared. So that makes sense to me as well. And then, 53% had a conversation about faith with who's not a Christian. So all of those are kind of on a spectrum of engagement that you would have with people, correct?
Yeah. And one of the questions we asked that gives us kind of some insights into that spectrum is we asked kind of how proactive or how reactive they are to having evangelistic conversations. And 15% of those who identify as Christians and we filter it even narrower, and they have Christian beliefs. Because just because you self-identify as a Christian and got into our survey, we found that just under half actually weren't sure they were going to heaven, weren't completely banking on their relationship with Jesus Christ. So just somebody saying they're a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that they have committed their life to Jesus Christ.
Which is weird, but an important distinction. I mean, we would think that automatically that's the case, but it's not.
So as I share these numbers, we've narrowed in on those who indicate they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation.
Okay.
15% indicate they're trying to bring up faith in conversations with everybody. So they're super proactive. Another group is also proactive, that 37% is looking for natural opportunities to bring up their faith. So that's just over half of those who are Christians, who actually have Christian beliefs, are being proactive. But a third are being reactive. I answer faith questions if asked, or I comment if somebody's already brought up the subject. And then the remainder are folks who won't talk about faith with most people. And that's about 12%, with 4% being not sure, which probably means they're pretty reactive as well.
No, I thought it was fascinating that there seemed to be like people of different mindsets. You know, if you ask me, I'll tell you. And I would say that I get that. And there's a place, you know, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. But at the same time, you know, in a world where people, you know, maybe have an increasingly growing negative perception of Christianity, but they might have a good perception of you because you built a relationship with them as a neighbor and more. It's also a very appropriate thing for you to initiate the conversation as well. But the more they initiate, the less the numbers go down is a fair description of the data.
And if we look at all the activity questions we asked about, I believe there's about a dozen different types of evangelistic activity, from praying to mentioning a Bible verse to actually presenting the how to become a Christian. Of those who identify as a Christian, kind of that broad definition of the Christians we were talking to, 24% essentially gave us no on all of those. In other words, they're never active evangelistically. Hmm. And so while we've got, you know, decent a third to a half, you know, doing many of these activities, any one of them, there's this group that's about a quarter of all who say they're Christians are not active at all.
At all.
And there's actually a correlation with age on that one. So the older you get, the more likely you are to be in that never active.
That's fascinating.
Category, which is actually counter to other things we see in our discipleship research. Because on most things, and that same correlation is there the longer you're a Christian. On most areas of discipleship, the longer you're a Christian, the more like Christ you look.
Right.
But when it comes to evangelism, that is not showing to be true. And so whether it's because your friend circles are getting smaller and they're all Christians, or whether or for some other reason, we're seeing older saints not being willing to bring up faith in conversations with others.
Yeah, and I would ask you more about why, but I know you'll tell me that we can't answer the why question with survey research, because I've had this conversation with you 74 times. I thought it was interesting in the study, and again, the study's really expansive as well, and folks can find that study if you Google Lifeway Research Evangelism Explosion, it comes right up. But one of the questions was around a readiness, if you will, is about what people felt they were prepared to do. It says, the headline there says, half of Christians say they're ready to share at least the basics of becoming a Christian. And then it kind of follows what you mentioned, what they did or they didn't do, but it kind of follows that, you know, ready for any opportunity, ready to share basic steps. Share with us what that tells us. And if you don't mind, go through the numbers as well.
Yeah. And this is for all those who identify as a Christian. 23% are ready for any opportunity. And that means, you know, they're thinking, hey, even if people ask me some questions along the way, I think I'm ready for that. Another 27%. So that brings us up to half of Christians. That next 27% is ready to share the basic steps for somebody to become a Christian. The next group, 19%, say, I know the essentials of becoming a Christian, but I'm not ready to put it into words. And so they need some handles. They're not ready for that conversation, even though they're feeling okay in their own walk with Christ. And then there's 24% that are not sure what information needs to be shared or where to start. And I already mentioned that some of those who indicate they're Christians are, when we ask them, you know, some of the famous evangelism explosion questions, you know, they don't really have an answer if God asked them, why should I let you into my heaven? Or they don't have a good answer. And so some of them are not sure what is it? And so, you know, if we're thinking about trying to mobilize our congregation to be more involved evangelistically, the first group we've got to think about is those who are not sure of their own salvation. because you're not going to share a message if you're not sure of it yourself. And so so that would be a first step of being ready to share is knowing that. But for many people, they don't have the handles. About 7 out of 10 Christians indicate they've never had any training at all in how to share their faith. And so without training, you don't have some of those handles that in a pinch, in the middle of a conversation, what do I say next? And to have, you know, a short outline or an illustration, a visual illustration like three circles or those kinds of things.
Three Circles, who don't know, is an evangelistic presentation that the Jimmy Scroggins created, and lots of groups, you know, the evangelical Presbyterians use, the Southern Baptists use, and others use.
And you know, other presentations of the Gospels of the God. There's only one Gospel of the true. Gospel.
there are four Gospels, so maybe that's it.
Yes,
so,
yeah. You know, others have illustrations as well. You know, kind of a gap, and Jesus Christ bridges that gap, and you know, just having some of those handles to use in conversations are things that many Christians really have never been trained in, and are not ready to have that conversation today. And so that's something that. While they believe it's a loving thing to do, to point people to Christ, you know, they're also thinking, again, 4 out of 10 of them are thinking that, hey, if I share, people are going to be pushing back. This is going to be offensive. And so that really keeps them from wanting to have that conversation, especially if they're not ready in terms of knowing what to say.
Yeah, I do think it's probably worth noting here for particularly the member audiences, these church planning types. And I'm actually a believer in memorized evangelistic presentations, because we're talking evangelist explosion, and people sort of have this assumption that they have these, you know, two questions: if you were to die today, and you know, why shall I let you in heaven? Which, by the way, you really should see what evangelist explosion is doing today. It's very, very expansive, lots of different pathways. Anyway, the point is that one of the things you just heard Scott explain is that people often get stuck because they don't know what to say. And a memorized presentation gives you a landing place to come back to when your plane starts getting all over the place, and you can come back to that. So I have memorized evangelistic presentations that I regularly come back to. And here's the great thing. Well, it's too rote, people say. I don't think in the last 20 years I've given a rote evangelistic presentation, but I come back to what I memorized all the time. So last thought, Scott, what would you say, takeaways from the study for church planners and people who want to be evangelistic?
I think we've got to remind Christians that our message is hope-filled. I think too often we get stuck on the fact that, you know, we're going to come across as pushy or rude. And if our mindset is that we have a message that's worth hearing, the gospel is a message, and it's our responsibility to share it, but it's worth hearing. And if we think of it as a hope-filled message, we're going to be much more likely to be sharing it than if we're thinking of the potential negatives of people not wanting to explore it or to hear it.
Well, this has been Scott McConnell, Lifeway Research, friend. By the way, too, when we talk about, like, we have new churches, many of you are familiar with the fact, you know, the new churches resources has all this different kinds of resources, and they're all free. But we also do something for church planning leaders, denomination leaders, network leaders. You got to be a church planning leader. You're not like, we love local church pastors, but someone who's maybe overseeing church planting for the Converge or for Send Network or for the Assemblies of God. Scott and I and others host a twice annual private meeting called the Church Planning Leadership Fellowship. We have 100, 150 people come, and we exchange ideas and do best practices as well. So it was always his partner. He actually, Scott, shared some of this research at our most recent Church Planning Leadership Fellowship as well. Hey, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the New Churches Podcast. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.